Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we wanna play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, oh so, my god, this guy's so gonna swing on Jim.
Right. He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
We're learning a lot about each other.
I know that Andrew Vaughn had a nice game yesterday.
And a fly ball left center field. This is well struck. This is gone! Andrew Vaughn!
He is a negative 1.7 WAR player so far this year.
His WAR for the Brewers is 0.2. Just saying. It's a new era.
Look, Matt, he sucks. If you want to ride on die or that, like, you can, but he stinks.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is hour number two of Jim, Matt, Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's
crush a Coors Light.
I'm Jim Rutledge. I have the power in the Everlight Solar Studio alongside Molly Brown. Chrissy Birdsall is with me as well. Primetime Laura Shaman on the other side of the glass. The audio there you heard was me talking about Andrew Vaughn. And honestly, the maddest I got yesterday, and I think this happened before I found out about the passing of Ryan Sandberg, was when Andrew Vaughn hit a home run because, God, that guy is so bad at baseball. And here's the other part. My brother's like, I don't know, maybe we'll have to figure out what they're going to do with Rhys Hoskins or Vaughn. And I was like, you know that Vaughn would be in the minors not playing for this team if Hoskins didn't get hurt. So it's not like the Brewers are like, we got this diamond in the rough. They're like, I guess this is the player we got to play, and by chance he's good. Like, that's frustrating. That's annoying. That's not even, like, good strategy. That's just, like, this is the player we have. We have to play him because our starting first baseman is hurt.
Wasn't everybody just saying how he disappeared and became the Andrew Vaughn of late?
Yeah, he was
late,
like,
and
old,
then
he was like 0 for 12 before like the last game here. Yeah, he was on a big
He steps up in big moments, Jim. That's all that matters. King Vaughn knows the moment.
King Vaughn. Good Lord.
Our next guest here, Dave Kaplan from ESPN Chicago, would know of Andrew Vaughn from the Chicago White Sox. And obviously, I want to bring him more on is to talk about Ryan Sandberg and talk about his legacy. Because, David, I was at the game, and actually I brought my girls with. They're wearing Cubs stuff. I'm wearing my Cubs stuff. No place like Wrigley Field. I should have added the North on there, which is AmFam Field, you know, Wrigley Field North. But my wife was wearing a shirt. On the way in, she's wearing a Ryan Sandberg jersey T-shirt. She's like, what's the jersey I'm wearing anyways? And I said, oh, this is actually Ryan Sandberg. It's actually sad right now. There's kind of he's in maybe hospice care. He might pass away soon. And then during the game, he did. And it kind of took all the excitement out of the game for me, but you obviously, I would imagine, had a much closer relationship. I just watched him from afar on WGN. Ryan Sandberg, his impact on the Cubs, on baseball, on you. I want to bring you in to start with that.
Well, it's great to be with you guys. It's a sad day because I got to work with him. He wasn't my best friend, but we had a really nice relationship. And I was telling this story today on my radio show, Kappa J Hood, on ESPN Chicago. So we hired Rhino. I was the host of Cubs pregame, postgame on TV for a long, long time. And prior to that, I was the host on radio. I did 25 consecutive seasons with the Chicago Cubs, either radio or TV. And from 2009 to 19, I was the host on TV. 2016 is this magical year. Mm-hmm. Todd Hollinsworth, who was the 95 Rookie of the Year in the NL for the Dodgers. He became a Cub. We became friends. We hire him. He's my partner. Now we're going into playoffs, and my boss has said, you know what? We're going to call Ryan Sandberg and see if he wants to join you guys. Great. Rhino says yes, and we're on this joyride. And now the Cubs are down 3-1, game 5 at Wrigley. Me, Holly, Rhino. Cubs win. John Lester was amazing. Chris Bryant hit a homer. And now I said, you going to Cleveland? Yep, I'll see you in Cleveland. We do game 6 on Tuesday night. And the game ends. We do a 2-hour post game. And honest to God, this is true. At 12:35, I still have the picture time-stamped on my phone. I said on the air to Rhino and to Holly, all right, let's finish this strong. We're on till 1. And Rhino, I can't wait to see you tomorrow when we try to win a World Series. He said, I won't be here for the postgame show tomorrow. Yeah, well, what do you mean? We hired you to do the pre and the post. He said, here's the deal. We are winning the World Series tomorrow. I said, well, I hope you're right. No, no, no. Listen to me, Cap. No hope. We are winning the World Series tomorrow. And when we do, I'm not coming out of the stadium to join you here. I am going to celebrate with the Cubs in the clubhouse. And we won the World Series, and that dude stayed right in there in the clubhouse. And it's one of my fondest memories, and he was so happy. It was unbelievable.
And, well, to that point, with the game and the series going on right now, I'm expecting the Cubs to make a move here. I'm not expecting the Brewers to do anything of significance. That's kind of my hope right now because the Cubs are scuffling. The Brewers have been playing over their skis. Hopefully they even out a little bit. But I guess when you look at the Brewers from down in Chicago and then also what the Cubs need to do, how big of a thorn in each other's side do you think they're going to be for the rest of the season?
Oh, I think this is going to go right down to the wire. I think it's a really good Brewers team. I don't think it's as good top to bottom as the Cubs are. But right now, you can't dispute the fact that they have better starting pitching. Yeah. You know, Justin Steele is not here. He's out for the year. Justin Steele was in this rotation. I might have a different opinion. But, you know, Imanaga is working his way back from a 7-week hamstring injury. Colin Ray, who pitched in Milwaukee as well. Mm-hmm. He's okay. He's going tonight. He's not a superstar. Matt Boyd's had a great year. He had a bad night last night. That's going to happen. But I fully expect Jed Hoyer to, like in poker, push all his chips in. I fully expect that to happen here in the next 24 to 48 hours because...
Well, we got a freeze there for a second.
Yeah,
there.
We sure did.
From Cap. So hopefully that'll pick back up. I don't know if the birds... that was here in the background.
I think a bird took out his phone, actually, yeah.
Interfered with this.
I'm just wondering if he's at his lake house in Oshkosh.
No,
it's
not
a little
quite.
Early.
No?
It's yeah. a little early for that. It's only Tuesday.
So?
Well, I mean,
it's
I feel
Tuesday.
Like I'm sure for his show with Jay Hood that he's going to go and do that in studio in Chicago. That's a bit of a haul.
Fair. No, I just saw a tree in the background. I feel like last time that he was on.
There are trees in the Chicagoland area.
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We have trees here.
Yeah.
We do have trees. Anyway, what I was saying is I fully expect Jed to push his chips in and get players here. And I've been told by people at the top, money's not going to matter. It's how much prospect capital do you have to give up for rentals. And we'll see. Jed signed a 5-year extension yesterday. He's a good dude. I'm glad he's going to be here. I just think if it comes down to money, I don't think the Brewers are going to compete with the Cubs. Prospect-wise, that remains to be seen.
Well, that makes me feel good, Molly. You can ask your question here. Because when you say money talks, Mark Athanasio, all he cares about is people having a good time. So that makes me very excited.
Hey, he said every move is on the table. So
yeah, no,
if you believe him.
Because here's the other part of it, Cap. As you talk about money for the Brewers here, is that they don't want to trade their prospects because they know that they're going to lose their star players. So they have to have these young players to backfill to keep their payroll incredibly low. So that's the thing that I feel like even in a prospect bidding war, the Cubs can win that because the Brewers are hesitant always to give up prospects because that's how they backfill when Peralta ends up leaving or getting traded away or Adames leaves, all these other guys leave because they need the prospects, the cheap players to backfill.
Okay, but here's what I'd say to you. Mm-hmm. That Brewers team's good enough to win a World Series. They are.
Yeah.
When you can throw Mizorowski and Freddy Peralta and Jose Quintana, you can. I'm not saying they will. They can. The Chicago Cubs also are good enough when you can roll out there Kyle Tucker and Pete Armstrong and Michael Bush and all of these dudes, Nico Horner, they have enough to do it if they go out and address their bullpen and maybe a high-end starter in their rotation. They can. If Mark Adonasio, who I've never met in my life, doesn't look at this team and go, if not now, when, and push the chips in, then he does not care about winning. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. Like, if I owned a team, tomorrow's promise to no one. You could wake up next year for the Cubs, have re-signed Kyle Tucker, have got Pete Crawford locked up on a long-term deal, gone out and spent a fortune in free agency, and guess what? You could wake up and have 5 guys on the injured list for the year. Tomorrow's promise to nobody. All I know is my favorite baseball team wakes up. Right now they're in the playoffs. Right now they're 1 game behind Milwaukee. And if there's a deal to be had out there that is reasonable, I don't want to hear that they're not going to put some prospect in. I could tell you a true story. Back in the 90s, 98, Mike Piazza told me he was, took a shower. Remember he was traded by the Dodgers to the Mets?
Yeah.
Mike Piazza said, I get traded to the Florida Marlins first. He's there for 2 days.
Yeah.
They wanted to see if they could hijack him, keep him for 2 days, get something for the effort, then move him. Okay, so he gets traded to the Marlins. The Cubs agree to a deal to acquire Mike Piazza. This is the same year Sammy hits 66 homers. Cubs go to the playoffs. And he said, I'm in the shower. Wow, I'm a Chicago Cub. How cool is this? He said, and all of a sudden, the GM, Larry Beinfest, comes to the shower. He goes, hey, turn the shower off. I got to talk to you. The Mets just added another prospect. You're going to New York.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a left-hander, the sixth overall pick. You can look him up. His name was Jeff Getz, a lefty starter, the sixth overall pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. And he was heralded as this, oh, my God, he's, you know, the next great thing. They called the Cubs and said, okay, we want you to put in a catcher named Pat Klein. He was a top 50 prospect. Yeah, Pat Klein never played in the big leagues, never. And Ed Lynch went, nah, that's too much. I'm not going to give you the other prospect. And guess what? Mike Piazza's in the Hall of Fame, and the Cubs didn't get Mike Piazza.
Cap, I do want to switch gears to the Chicago Bears. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement around Ben Johnson coming to Chicago. A lot of excitement around Caleb
see
Williams.
You see Bears, that logo?
Yeah, he's got the Bears jersey, or right Bears logo showing up on the T-shirt. Yep.
I'm used to it with Jim here. We got to deal with it on a daily basis. But obviously, there's a lot of excitement with Caleb Williams being in this new system with him, having a coach that he can learn behind, right? What are your expectations for the Bears this season?
10-7 is what I've picked them. Okay. 10-7. I don't think they're a 12-13 win team. I do think they're going to be greatly improved because they've upgraded their coaching staff in such a huge, huge way. That's one. Two, I know everybody up in Green Bay and up in Wisconsin, and I live in Oshkosh part of the summer. I have a home there.
Yeah.
All I hear about is how great the Packers are going to be. Let me just remind you that if you don't, with a fingertip, block the field goal to beat the Bears in Chicago, you go 0-6 in the division. 0-6, not win a game. And then we rolled in and beat your ass in Lambeau the end of the season. So I think the Packers are headed for a dead last finish in the division.
Oh, hey, okay. You don't have to remind me about the fingertip.
See, I told you. No.
Yeah. I am in agreement. I am 100%. In my mind, Jordan Love is getting paid way too much money to be a subpar quarterback.
Agreed.
That is where I land. So, but
he's mediocre. He's okay.
Jim has called him good before, and I'm a little bit like
good, not great. Like good is like Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy.
Yeah,
sort of.
He's a solid NFL quarterback. Yeah. $55 million for that dude?
Yeah,
no shot.
It's a lot. But I feel like we've actually had this conversation, right? And Jim, you can probably phrase the question better than me. Of that, pretty much any team in the NFC North, we could see either winning the division or being in dead last. I mean, do you kind of have that vision for the division as well?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if J.J. McCarthy has to work out because that team's loaded.
Yep.
If he's a decent quarterback, they're not finishing last. If he's terrible, different story. I don't think the Lions can finish last without catastrophic injury. I think it's those two teams. Does somebody surprise Bears-Packers battling, and one of them's going to finish last? That's how I look at it, and I think it's the Green Bay Packers.
Talking with Cap from Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. And you mentioned something about the coaches. And I set it up here. And my biggest reason for optimism around anything working out with the Bears is I don't remember Ben Johnson, obviously the first big hire, but a coaching staff assembled with true, like, professional coaches. As a Bears fan, I think you'd have to go back to the Lovie Smith days when the Bears were competing for division titles, that they had a coaching staff this competent on paper. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, look, John Fox came in and was handed a really tough deal.
Mm-hmm.
John Fox, a quality football coach, not my cup of tea, so vanilla and so blasé. They had Vic Fangio with a really good defense. So John Fox was fine. He was competent. Mark Trestman was incompetent as an NFL head coach. Matt Nagy, very mediocre, although we'd kill for his records, 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, and then he went 5-11 and got fired. And then Matt Eberflus was way in over his head, way in over his head. He should never have been the head coach of the Chicago Bears. So I'm excited that they stepped up. They're paying $65 million over 5 years for Ben Johnson. And you should watch this guy training camp. I was there again today. Luther Burden, our second-round pick, who's a hotshot receiver. He wasn't lined up how he wanted him. He said, hey, out, get off the field, and kicked him out of the drill. He does not mess around, man. This guy is all in about accountability. I love it.
Bringing it back to Jordan Love, I feel like for me as a fan, I'm willing to give Jordan Love this last year to prove to me who he is, to see if he can actually be a consistent quarterback, because I feel like he's just been consistently inconsistent. For Caleb Williams, I, in my mind, I kind of erased last year because just all of the stories that came out after the fact, hearing how essentially how mistreated he was being their starting quarterback, like it was baloney, in my opinion. So I'm curious, how many years are you willing to give Caleb Williams?
I mean, I'll make that determination at the end of this year. Look, the nonsense that went off in Chicago last year and all around Caleb was horrible. Right. But he was sacked 68 times, and he has to own some of those sacks for holding the football too long. And at the end of the season, he was so suffering from PTSD and just beaten down that I think his work, not work ethic, but his preparation got away from him. I really, truly believe that. So I look at Caleb. This is a massive year. No more excuses.
Cap, awesome stuff. Thanks so much for hopping on and giving us, basically reiterating a lot of stuff I say here, but we love the Chicago perspective. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago Mornings. Cap, thanks so much.
All right, I'll be at the Brewers game tomorrow, so if you're there, come say hi.
Absolutely. Maybe I'll have to go one more time. I need to see a Cubs
Field
victory at AmFam Field. It is miserable when
they're
it's
winning
though.
Tonight. Cubs win tonight.
I like it. Then this will be the big one tomorrow then. That's kind of what I said. I did say that the last
tonight
game will
define. Tonight hasn't even happened, so don't pretend like tomorrow is already happening.
But yesterday you asked me, and I said that I think they'd split the first two, and the Cubs win the third game
we'll
of the series.
We'll see.
One batter, one pitch, one out at a time. Let's go get them.
All right. Thank you, Cap. It's Cap, David Kaplan.
All right, take
from
that.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. Let me tell you about J&K Security Solutions. They are locally owned, family owned, and veteran owned business that can protect your home or business from anywhere in the world. They also can help with commercial fire protection. So contact our good friends at J&K Security Solutions. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
So then they have to text the person, and she goes, yeah, I know, like, she makes them, like, with ginger specifically. I'm like, that must be what it is. It's ginger.
Gotta be ginger.
It's ginger. Because I'm like,
hold that Benadryl, I'm fine.
Those were just ginger cloves. Those weren't nuts.
Yeah,
those,
ginger clove, that's a thing.
Yes.
That's real.
Clearly, obviously.
It's not. No such thing as a clove and ginger.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.